Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech for my power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Having some questions to take care of when we are done. I'm not afraid that so many people are not here this evening. Because this generation don't want to hear the truth. They prefer to do what they like. And thereby have issues. Eh?
Time is short.
Okay. We'll be going straight to what we have this evening. And I believe you that is seated here this evening, God has something for you. I may not be talking to everybody. I may be talking to only one or two persons. I'm okay with that. As far as you allow God to talk to you, you allow yourself to be changed by what you're going to hear this evening. I know that God will perfect everything that concerns you in Jesus' name. Okay, this evening we'll be looking at relationship. You know, yesterday small, we talk of love and all that. But you know, sometimes you cannot deny the fact that relationship can start in school. True of us. Yes. So we'll be looking at that and see how God is going to help us. I put down here that relationship issues are not easy and cheap. So one needs to be properly guided and understand the dynamics and must be led by God. Before you enter into a relationship, you must understand what it takes. That is not something you will just enter anyhow, because one Igbo adage says that somebody that did not know where the rain starts beating him or her will not know where it stops. So you must understand first what you are entering into. What do you really want out of it? And if you are ready for it, you are good to go. But if you are not ready, it then means you don't start what you are not prepared for. Then, if you are not ready for marriage, don't enter into a relationship. Did you understand that? If you are not ready for marriage, don't enter into a relationship. Because what will come out of most relationships, if you are not ready, if you are not guided, most times it will bring out something that you not like along the line. And I want us to consider something this evening. That thing we are going to consider is, what do I really want out of a relationship? Or as I am now, am I really ready for anything? If you are not ready, it then means you are not out for it. True of us. But if you are ready, it then means we can go together. God factor in dating. What is the factor of God? How did God come in? As Christians, I'm talking to Christians, I'm not talking to worldly people. What is the God factor in a relationship or in dating? It was God's idea for a woman to be given to a man. It is God that started the whole thing at the Garden of Eden. When you read Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, he said, it is not good for a man to do what? To be alone. And anything God says, take it up, bring it down. That is how it is. If God says it's not good for a man to be alone, know very well it is not good. But when God says it is good, it is good. When he says it's not good, it is not good. He says it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a help meet. Somebody that will help. We ladies, we understand that we are to help. In a relationship, you are to help. In a marriage, you are to help. You are not there just for being there. You know, before, in Igbo language, they say that they marry you, you become Oriako. No. Maria could come and eat. But you see now that women are struggling, men are struggling. Three of us. Three of us. So who is struggling more? It go better for you. Have you seen? It's women that are doing what? The men are trying to change the pattern of God, but it no go work for them. Because you see that so many families now, it's women that are carrying the load. I didn't say that men are not trying, but you see that so many men, in quotes, are not responsible. But you as a man, you tell yourself, God has given me a responsibility. That a woman that is coming by your side will be a helpmate, not somebody that will come and carry load. So if you are seated here, I want this thing to be downloaded on your head. When you download it, it will give you a kind of insight of what you'll be seeing tomorrow. What do I want? Do I want to marry somebody that will help me? Like if you want to do something, he will help you. Like a book I read said, if you give a woman one thing, he will reproduce it to five. If you give her a home, she will give you what? A house. You know, the man has a way of explaining and defining it, and I came to realize that it's true. If it's really your own woman, no, we'll still get to that. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Then when you are entering a relationship, that is where God's factor comes in. Hence is God that instituted this. It then means God must be the number one person you will consult. Because immediately you remove the God factor, you're on your own. And immediately you're on your own, it's so the probability of you getting the right person may be 20%. And 80% will be no. Because of what? You are doing what God is supposed to do for you. Because when you consult God, He will give you the right path to follow in doing that. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. God being the originator of marriage, God being the originator of relationship, must be consulted. Like yesterday I said, you must first of all have a relationship with God. Knowing God one-on-one, not what your pastor say, not what the fellowship papa say, but what you as a person. Jesus was asking his disciples, whom do men say that I am? By the revelation that Peter had, he said, you are the Son of God. So you as a person should understand whom God is to you. Whom or how you relate with him to understand what you are entering into or for him to lead you into that. I want to give us a little history of my husband. Because you know, I know most of us, we have read books on relationship, books on marriage, books on dating, books, but I want to give us a small life history of my husband. When he was 24, he made his first million. And being the first son, there were only two. The other one, the second brother, already has a son that is like 4 years. So he's trying to like fasten up so that he can meet up with him. What did he do? The pastor of the church he was going to then, at Onita, he approached the daughter, they entered into a relationship, they get going, they start doing their normal things, but the whole thing was in all purity, according to the story. But one thing I want to bring out there is that after 3 years, he noticed that the lady was not ready for him. He said, no, I don't think this thing will work. But had he been involved God in the first place, he would have known that this lady at a time would say no. And you know time is going. And before you know it, he entered another relationship, a Christian born again too. They continue going. And before you know it, that lady after 2 years plus said, I'm no more interested. After eating, you know, you ladies that eat guys' money, don't worry. God is watching you. Don't laugh. I'm still coming to brother's side. So the lady said she's not interested. He said, what is the problem? He said, you're a good man, but I don't think I will continue. Ina said, okay, hence the people of, the children of God that may be born again are not agreeing. Ina saw one yellow purple. Ah, he said the first day he saw the lady, he liked her, he fell in love with her. He now wants to do convert and marry. You know that kind of thing. You know they work. If they work, when you know create somebody you want to convert, it cannot work. So he told the lady, he'll be coming to my church, because he was a minister in Redeem then. He'll be coming to our church so that they will not say I'm marrying an unbeliever. They had a deal. The lady agreed. They start going. But he said he noticed that the lady is not changing. She can lie for Africa. She can do this. She can do that. Ha. He said when she was looking at these things, something in him was telling him, are you sure you are ready to, can you cope with this lady? He said, okay, let's just be going. Let's see what will happen. But he said to the greatest, to one thing that baffled him is that one time the lady said that he wants to go and see somebody in Lagos, a sister. So the lady called her, said, okay, I've gotten to Lagos, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay. But my husband, he has that spirit of wisdom. He said immediately he dropped the call. Something in him told him, you know, that time that they have phone booths. You know, now we don't have phone booths again. So he noticed, he said, let me even call. So it happened, it was in front of their house. He came and made the call. So he asked the person, that person that made call now, you know, my husband can do business like anything. He said, I don't mind, I will send you credit. Just tell me, help me, and look around. He said, no, he came to see his brother that is here, that they just went out. My brother Market, my husband Market, brother. And she said she's going to see who? His sister. And before you know it, he now called back the number, say, okay, you should see her around. But to call the whole long story short, he noticed it cannot work. That is wasting of 8 whole years. Because of what? He did not involve God. He is lucky enough not to enter into the marriage. He was lucky. So many people are in marriage today, but they are thinking and praying and believing God that the husband will die or the wife will die. Okay, you have not seen such. I have some friends like that. They will say, God, how I wish that this man would die so that they can, they kind of see if they can retrace their self, because they have come to realize that they have made the worst mistake in their life. Everybody seated there, I want you to understand something. Somebody you marry will either make you to make heaven or to make hell with fast, quick. Because as you are beautiful, as you are handsome, know very well that you can marry a woman that is not God's will for you. He will make your life so miserable. He will make your business to be scattered. She will not be telling you, but you know you won't be coordinating because two of you are not agreeing. And to cut the long story short, that is when he now remembered God. You know, most of us, it's when we make mistake that we remember that God exists. You know, when we are telling you, you need to involve God, you feel it's not important, it's not necessary, I know how to do it. By the way, if I marry a medical doctor, she's collecting 200,000, 300,000. At least with her, Nigeria is now. If I collect even 200, we join it together, we can do something reasonable. It's not like that. You can marry somebody that is selling pure water, and that woman will make you to be something in life. That you educated does not mean that you must marry a graduate. That you're a medical doctor does not mean that you will marry somebody that has a very big, maybe a professor, or maybe somebody that has a good business, even if he's not, maybe he doesn't go to school, at least he should have money. No, that is not a criteria for you to do what? To marry. But immediately involve God. God will say, this person is the person. And take it up, bring it down, shake it, turn it, right, left. I bet you. God immediately is involved and he say, this daddy is the person. Just go ahead. It's not that it will be rosy. It's not that everything will go as you want. In short, most times, whom God asks you to marry is not what you want. Most times, when you do a kind of census, or maybe to know what I'm saying, if you go to meet people that are successful in marriage, they will tell you in the first place, I don't like this person. And when my husband entered into prayer, he involved his pastor, they now start praying. The man now said, you have to go on 6-6 fasting for 9 days. Ha! Say, how is he going to do this one, Bikun? You know, it looks difficult. But because of what he has passed through, he decided to do that. And after that, he said he did 3 days dry fasting to join it. And without knowing that, when he was doing that, you know, that is how God does things. When you think that you are smart enough, God will just be watching you. But when you feel that you cannot do it on your own, you go back to him. He has a way of planning it and arranging it. Meanwhile, my husband is in Akure here doing his own prayers. Me, myself, I was in school. I was a bit confused. When I went, so my mom was calling me, come back. This also, there is one of our friends that the son was outside. He came in. You know all those arranges things. Inside of me, when my mother called me, I said, I trust myself. I wanted to go that weekend. That's why I'm not going. The guy now came to our school. He's okay by every standard. I now told myself, this confusion is too much. I have like 17 suitors then. I said, to save my head from wahala, at least I've been a leader like 3 times, and they have been teaching us about marriage. I left lectures. I left everything. I went back to God. I didn't know that when I was doing my prayers in the East at Camp of Faith, my husband was there doing his prayers. We have not known. But God knows how to do something. When I was praying, I said, God, I'm confused. Everybody is saying, God say, everybody is saying you are okay. I don't need confusion in my life. And I know that if the devil meets you at the place of salvation, he's waiting for you at the place of marriage. Because he knows immediately you marry the wrong person, that determines how far you can go in life. That is when I prayed, I was convinced that none of them, out of these 17 people, is the one. I went back. What I do is that any of them, if I see their call, I'll cut it. I just try to a kind of concentrate. And after 2 weeks, my husband now, the pastor that was leading him said that you won't even marry from this west, that you should go to the east, that is where your wife is. He was confused. Okay, the father has already retired to the east. He now made some arrangements, 2 persons in nursing school, 2 persons in my school, in my class. So when the thing was, me, I don't know. I was on my own doing my things in school. So, what happened was, just a classmate. He now went home to go and do something in their house. It happened that my husband called his friend, who is in Lagos, to now come and follow him to go and look for a wife. Are you getting the story? So, my classmate was now talking of one serious mbeke in their class. That sometimes she will not even remember to rub powder. You know, she was explaining. That was how my husband's interest now clicked. He was like, that person must be a wife material. He said, I cannot talk to her. He said, don't worry, let's arrange it. He now bribed the girl. The girl now came back to school. She came and visited me. I said, Onyedika, this one you came to my room. You never come looking for me before. He said, you want us to talk? So I said, what? Immediately he talked me, I say, you know I'm not into that. He said, no, that this is brother is not. I said, you know I'm not interested. To cut the whole long story short, he came around. Even for me to leave fellowship and come, I said, you should come and join us in the fellowship. Ha. He himself said he's not coming. They wait for me until we finish. And I came. When I came, the first question I asked him is that, are you born again? He said, that is not a nice way to meet people. I said, because your sister have told me the reason why you are coming.
And meanwhile, before he came, 2 days before that, I was just going on a walkway. I heard that the person that is coming this weekend is your husband. That was after the prayers. I was being a kind of conscious and careful before I would enter, because sometimes the devil can talk and God can talk. Are you getting me? You must develop a way of hearing God. So I wanted to be double sure. Is he really God that talked to me, or is the devil that talked to me? So to cut the long story short, we had a relationship. That is where I'm coming. Have you seen that there is a preparation before the relationship started? I went out of my way to go and pray. And he himself, he has not even told me he went for prayers and all that. But I know something started, and I had that inner peace, like, this person. But the truth of the matter is I don't like him. He's into business, he's a graduate, he said he don't want to sit under somebody to be giving him change. So he's into sawmill business, he has 2 sawmill, lorry and 9-11 and all that. But when he came, because of what the ladies have told him, did to him, when he came, he said that he's just struggling, that he don't know. I said, but that is after some months. He now said he's struggling, he wants to see how life will be to him. I said, he was not inviting me to Akure. All the time, he would try a way. This person don't even know anything. Me? He said, but your parents are not monitoring your movements. I said, all the time I've come to this school. Anywhere I'm going, I must call my mom or my dad. See, we are going for this burial. You, that is a lady. Every farm, you follow this one, you move. You follow this one, you move. You can go to anywhere. You don't even have restrictions. I told him that, see, that I have told you, you've proposed, I agreed. That does not mean that I don't know. That does not mean that the whole thing will work out. Because I was still being conscious. I was still watching at things. I was still looking at some things that can come out. So when all these things were happening, playing out, I was wondering, God, but you know I don't want to marry in school. I was still in 500 level. I was saying, I don't want to marry in school, but you are saying I should go. What? What is happening? Is it that it is time? My elder sister has not married, and I don't know. If I present this to my people, they'll be like, why are you rushing? You are still very young. This one, the other one. When I was contemplating within myself, that thought I slept off. When I slept off, God now come and play a drama for me. Immediately I wake up from that dream, I said, okay, obviously it is time. That is when I now told, because he has been disturbing me, he wants to come and see my parents, he wants to come and do this, he wants to come and do that. I will start trying to push everything to go to 600 level, because I know when you are pregnant in our Viva, you don't even come for the Viva questions. You don't. So that means I was battling it. I was saying, God, how is it going to play out? I don't want to, you know, be from the east. I don't know of here. You know, when you marry, from even the pressure from in-laws, even from your parents, they want you to, like, give them a baby and all that. I was saying, how am I going to cope? And all that. To cut the whole long story short, we now get married. After everything, I took him. In short, the miracle was a kind of a big confirmation of what God can do when God is in it, when God is involved. I took in, we have done the first semester Viva, the second semester Viva. It happened is when I would deliver. And obviously I know I'm going to do a kind of extra year. But I say, God, you are the one that led me into this. You are kind of confusing me. How am I going to spill over what I don't know? But do you know what God did? One of our sisters in the class come and meet me. He said, Dr. Z, you are troubled. What is the problem? I just shared my problem with her. I said, do you know what we do? Two of us, we agree for the school to go on strike. I said, how can you do that? He said, now, so that during, if we go strike now, before you know it, that you go and deliver and come back and do your vibe, all of us will get out together. I said, and it's good though. We enter into 3 days prayer. On the second day, You know these bad boys, they had issues. And before you know it, they scatter things in school. Everybody, they asked us to go. And immediately we go, the next week I put to bed. We stayed 3 weeks and I came back. When I came back, you know, I want to like try to tell you, when God is involved, you see everything playing out as He wants. Even when it may not be easy. Even when you feel like at a point in time, you feel like you are confused. At a time, you feel like, are you sure I'm really doing the right thing? Are you sure I'm really at the right position? But God will always show forth Himself. Praise the Lord. So that is how I conquered, came out of school. You can't believe it. After like a year plus, I start seeing this thing. This thing on my hand, it wasn't there before. I start seeing it. It start coming out. You know? We did all manner of tests. Did all manner of things. You know, when God says go, God knows what He's doing. And when God says wait, don't change, don't play around it. My husband took it upon himself. He was like, what am I going to tell your people? I said, don't worry. Let's see how it goes. We do all manner of tests. We did skin tests. We do this. Inside of my mind, deep down in my mind, I say, maybe, is this why God really want me to marry before this thing start coming out? So when the thought was too much on me, I now open up. I now told my husband. He said, you just think anything. How can you think? I said, because my Bible made me to understand that God knows the end from the beginning. If you are really serving Him, He knows a way to go around things. He knows a way to do things. He knows how He will arrange things for you. And funny enough, when we did all manner of tests, we did all this, we didn't see anything. It was just there. I said, okay, maybe God, that is what you have in mind. And you say I should move before these things start coming out. I said, okay, if that is the case, if the devil thinks he will use it to stop me, he don't miss road. Because if I have time, anytime I want to do my evangelism, I go. If I feel like maybe I'm in the office, I don't have anybody, I just look as we have people gather, I'll go there. One day, one person now asked me, do people still share tracts? If you come to my office now, you meet tracts on my table. Because the Bible says that there is a time for everything. You don't know why you are here at that particular time. You don't know whom you are going to save at that particular time. And the Bible made me to understand that you, man, you are inexcusable. There is nothing you can tell God that makes you not to open up your mouth and preach. You know, in as much as we are talking about relationship, we are talking about marriage, the timing, everything. Know very well that you have a purpose by which God has placed you here. And if you don't fulfill that purpose, if you don't do exactly what God wants you to do, there will be a problem. You cannot explain yourself. You cannot say, God, it is because of this. If you say, God, it's because I don't have money, He will show you somebody that conquered when there is no money. If you say, God, it's because I was too slim, I was ashamed, God will bring somebody that has only one leg. If you say, God, it's because I don't want to do it at this time, God will say, don't worry, He will bring out somebody. That is why God says, you man, you are inexcusable. And anytime God is telling you, leading you to do anything, don't waste your time. Don't waste time on that. Because God has a purpose. God has a reason. God has something in mind by which He allows anything to occur at any time. God has a purpose for anything that plays on in your life. God has something in mind. God has something in mind. And immediately you have this mind in you. He said, Apostle Paul said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. That mind of God, that mind of serving God, that mind of having the interest of the things of God. Because when I was in school, if somebody would tell me that I'm going to marry a pastor, I would not even believe. And so like, those people that were coming then, they are like 4 or 5 pastors. I say, me? If in school all this pastor stuff will finish, though, let me just go out and just be a church member and go and come. Because my husband was, it was actually the minister he was in Redeem that made him to move out. He now become an ordinary member in another church because he don't really want to do all those calls something. But you know, when God is preparing you here, You don't know tomorrow you may be a pastor. And the life you play here, one thing about God is that you cannot lie when you hold this mic. And even if you lie with your mind, your conscience will be telling you, you know these things you are telling these people, you have played before now. That is why you have to make yourself ready now. That is why you have to make it, because if tomorrow you become a pastor's wife, so that you can teach people the right thing, so that when you are teaching them, you'll be imparting life from yourself. Because what we are talking about is a spiritual thing. You know, if the Bible says that the children of this world, that they are wiser than us. Have you sit down and asked yourself, why did God say that? Because they understand they have a target. They understand they have time. They understand that they are not ready to play. You see that some of these guys are into court, that when they are doing things, when they want to help somebody, they help the person to the extreme. Because they have a target. They have something in mind. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Knowing the will of God. What is the will of God for your life? Knowing the will of God. And you cannot know the will of God in the place of playing church. You cannot know the will of God in the place of just what your pastor say. You cannot know the will of God in the place of just playing. You can only know the will of God in the place of prayer. You can only know the will of God in the place of having a very close relationship with God. And that is where maturity is needed. As a Christian, are you matured? Are you matured, or you're just playing around? Maybe when you are done 5 years, 6 years course, off you go. You just be floating. Are you deep? Do you understand God? Do you know how He talks? Do you even know Him as a person? Or you know Him as somebody that is up there? He has, God is very close to us. He's closer than what you think. So it is only when you know God on one-on-one you can understand His will for your life. If you tell yourself the truth, out of all of you, like me, there are seven. There are some people that can say, yes, my father can do this. They will understand even when, like my mom, if you go anywhere with her, she cut eyes for you. You don't understand what she say. Oh God. If you come back, you will go and pray in the name of Jesus so that maybe one of your leg will not remove when she's flogging you. Because she expects you to know her to the extent that maybe you go somewhere, you feel that maybe if they give you food there, that you eat. And she will do like eyes like this. She expects you to understand, they don't eat. Say, I'm full. And you say, Mommy, should I? Oh, God of heaven. You ask her there. No, that is how you should know God. You should understand when you are coming. Like when our brother called me, I said, let me pray, I'll get back to you. There are some places they will invite you, you know that their altar is already not good. That when you go there, the altar is desecrated and that you don't need to be there. There are places that they will invite you for a wedding, is a function. You say, I'm coming. You will not go, you go only for their reception. And when you go there, you won't eat food. You have to be sensitive. You have to have a spiritual antenna. That when it's talking to you, you know, this phone, before, we used landline, Abi. But now it's handset, Abi. It's technology. That is how you, as a Christian, you should know God. That God has wired you and you understand God to the extent that when you want to move, He said, don't move. You can always give excuse. You don't need to lie. You say, I don't feel like going. Nobody is forcing you. You say, what happened now? I don't feel like going. It's as simple as anything. There are some things they will do in the hospital. They will share key holder. They will share this. The Spirit of God says, don't use this thing though. Don't use it. I'll just take it, use something, wrap it, put it in dustbin. Or if I see maybe the people that will come and pack the thing will notice. If it's food, I'll tie it in nylon. I will not even allow my children to see it. As I'm getting to the house, I'll carry the bag by my, I will not allow anybody to carry my bag, Daddy. You say, Mommy, what did you buy for us? Nothing today. Or if I buy something, I'll keep it in a different place. I will carry it. I'll go and put it in the dustbin. It's not a sin. You are being conscious.
You have the Spirit of God that is talking to you, that tells you that is where maturity comes in. But if you are not matured, you don't have that spiritual antenna, you don't even know your left and your right, anything they say goes. If they say it is like this, if a brother just come and say, I want to marry you, you just carry your body and give him. He will just play with it and you go. It did not amaze me when my husband came. He said, how many people have break your heart? I said, my heart is with me. I never give him anybody. It's when you give your heart to somebody, go break him. Not be so. Eh? I say, it's still with me, isn't that? He said, what do you mean? You don't have... I said, I have, but I'm conscious. You as a lady, you have to guide yourself. Guide yourself. Have that a kind of spiritual thing that when somebody is coming to play around you, your spirit man will tell you, no, this person, it's a no-go area. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. How do you hear from God? It can be from visions, through vision, dreams, through intuition, through the voice of God. He can speak to you. He can speak to you. You just say, he will speak to you. You will hear it. I don't want to embarrass anybody. If I start asking, how do you hear God? How? Can you say indeed that you hear God? Do you even have a spiritual ear that you used to hear? That you can say, yes, God talked to me. I can understand when God says go. I can understand when he didn't say I should go. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Caution must be taken seriously here. Because when God is speaking, the devil too is speaking. But you will wait. Anything that does not balance with the word of God is not from God. Did you get that? Anything that does not balance, you know, some people, they'll be going from mountain to valley, moving from one place to the other. I mentioned that yesterday. You should have this as your guide. The Bible. There is no way I'm going. Even if I'm going for a party, my Bible is there. Because I may meet somebody that I need to preach to. He will say his own. I'll say my own. Before you know, I bring out my Bible. There is one wedding I went to. The man said, ha, do you see how people like this? I say yes, because all those occultic men, they can convert people anywhere. You are not aware. As a Christian, you should make disciples anywhere. You don't need anybody to come and tell you, today is evangelism. No. Opportunities. You can even enter bike. Sometimes I enter bike. They will say, this Nigeria don't spoil. This one, the other one. I say, yes, now we are in the end time. There is nothing you can say that I cannot use it to corner to preach to you. I say, yes, because we are in the end time. If you are expecting things to get better, it will not. It then means the Bible will not play out well. It then means the only thing for you to do now is to prepare yourself. It's like yesterday when I left here, God was showing me some things. When I wake up, we went for video. When we came back, I saw it. I thought my husband, I said, yeah, Nigeria is in trouble. He said, what happened? I saw everybody was running. We did not even remember our kids. Two of us, I said, honey, should we follow here? He said, no, it's as if they are coming from there. This is how everybody was. And my dreams are always, it's always come like that. So we have to wake up. Thank God I remembered. We have to wake up. And when I wake up, I was panting. Everybody was running. Everybody was running. Both the big, both the, not with cow, everybody with your leg. I say, God, what's the meaning of this? What is happening? It then means we have to wake up. We are sleeping too much. We the Christians, the devil is doing overtime because he knows there is no more time. He's trying, you see that so many things are killing people now. So many things. Like the VCP that came to my office on, you see, on Wednesday. He said his glasses got broken. He came to get another one. I said, sir, when I look at his eyes, I say, sir, are you diabetic? He said, yes. He seems you are hypertensive. He said, no, he's not. That is how I now shift him to Morgan. And there and then, that day, we have to admit him. You know, so many people are so busy. That is what I want to bring out. So many people are busy. They are not interested in taking care of themselves. They are busy pursuing money. That is why you hear, this person slump and died. This person slump and died. This person, coronavirus, Lassa fever, it has entered like 28 states now in Nigeria. And we are not doing anything. Do you think that all these things are normal?
I don't think they are normal. It then means that we need to wake up. We need to wake up from our slumber. We have slept enough. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So you need God to help you to find a person out. Because going by ordinary eyes, you will make a lot of mistakes. You may see somebody that is okay, may looking at him, maybe he's a brother in the fellowship, he's the papa of the fellowship. You know, he can speak in tongues, like our dad rightly said yesterday, that a child that is crying for food does not listen to speaking in tongues. Abi, brother, am I lying? You have to marry somebody that has vision and has purpose. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by brothers. Don't allow yourself, brother, to be deceived by a sister that speaks in tongues. You have to go back to God. Your wife may not be in this fellowship, but if God is directing you, you will be sure that you get the right person. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. There is need for you to marry rightly. Don't hurry into it. Don't say, maybe the woman that came to speak to you, he said, I married in 50. Take your time. Everybody has his own time. Somebody can marry in 500 level, there won't be problem. And another person may marry after masters and still have problem. But when is the right time, when God is leading you, there won't be problem. And immediately you make your right, as in you take the right decision, you involve God, there won't be problem. Brothers, I want you to take this advice. Don't wait to be so rich before you get married. If God is telling you this is your wife, just approach the person. Talk to the person. I didn't say when you are in school, though, because from our papa yesterday, I came to realize that you don't allow anybody to marry when you are in school. Is that not, sir? Then I have a question. What if God is leading and it's the right time? Okay. We will confirm. You know that time, you know, my husband has suffered that time because we have a panel that you come and meet. They will question you. They will be sure that they are putting their sister in the hand of a right person. It's not like you have confirmed it's God. They will say, oh, yeah, God, Mario. No. You have to go through process. You have to go through so many things. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So you will obtain favor. Sometimes you may have been struggling. You know, the Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. There are some favor. You see, if you marry the right person, the person will give you favor. You see, there are some things that are very, very difficult for you. You will see that it's not working because you marry somebody that has head. You know, they say two heads are better than one. That is two good heads. So. Because if one bad head come and meet another bad head, I bet you they will produce pus. You know what is pus? I don't know how to say it, so there's not. Okay, that thing that comes out from the eye that they call inkmi in Yoruba. That is what two bad heads will produce. Inkmi. That is what they produce because the heads are not okay. But when your head is okay by God, God will direct you to another good head so that two of you can make out something out of life. See, even if you are living only 70 years here, you need to enjoy it. You don't need to come and marry problem, both man and woman. You don't need to come and carry problem and put on this. Because the Bible says that little time we have here is full of problem. Another advice I have for everyone here is that we have to be careful of internet. There is an incident that happened in our church one day. My husband had a revelation of a sister that was raped. Ha. First thing in the morning, as I was still preparing the children for school, she just drove down to the sister's house. Two of them are staying together. He said, what happened? You didn't tell me what happened. This one, that. He said, nothing happened. He said, okay. Well. He prayed with them. As he was coming out, the sister said, that what happened is that yesterday, that there is somebody that sat him up on Facebook. They now start talking. Is it Facebook or WhatsApp or where? I don't know. But they now get talking and the man start talking rubbish. And he said that she's not interested. That is how angrily she left the page. She said to her greatest surprise, in the night, He saw the man came to their room. She don't have power to, you know, this is like a trance now. He said he don't have the power to even stand up or shout. The man now came and forcefully raped her. She said that when she woke up, it was like it happened physically because that she can see some drops of things on her bed. My husband said, do you know what happened? That you think it's spiritual, but it actually happened physically. So, you know, some of these people you meet online, you know, the devil we are fighting with works more spiritually. But you just think, is it not that guy, that stupid guy, this one, the other one? No. You should be careful. You know, as I said yesterday, if you feel somebody, even from the onset, somebody say hi or hello, the person I'll ask, may I know you? And you say, you don't know me from here, yeah. Immediately my spirit man will just confirm. If it's somebody that is not good, I'll just block. Immediately I block, I'll delete. You don't need to go into deep conversation with some people before they will start opening their mouth to say some things. Because as you are talking, your spirit man gets connected to them. And before you know it, somebody will now start needing, the person will now need deliverance. Because the sister has to go through deliverance before the whole rubbish that was deposited in her was out. And sometimes you see some people, you know, you don't have like minds with those persons. Especially in our sisters or even in our brothers. You see that this person has come to destroy you. You will just be playing around it. You don't play with fire. You don't try to play with fire. You don't say, let me manage. Let me see what will come out of this. No. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. You must understand this. That we women, we are made of so many things. Men are purpose driven. Why women? We are like an institution. There is a lot of things that goes on in our mind. When a man says, I love you, you start having issues. You start thinking, can it be this? Can it be that? As somebody that is a born again, as somebody that is a spiritual person, the first thing that should come to your mind when somebody say anything is that, you ask yourself, where is this thing going to lead us to? What is happening? What should I do? Or what is the answer I should give that person? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I'm trying to rush because they said I have only 5 minutes to round up. Liability. So many people don't want anybody to come and depend on them. Brothers, am I talking? Respond now. Am I talking? You know, before, sisters, you don't mind. Even if they are not doing anything, even if there is no job. No brother now wants to marry a liability. Neither we sisters, we don't want to marry a liability. If you finish school and there is no work, there is no job, you can do something. You can do something and be preparing. You mustn't wait and cross your leg and say, government is not answering me. You can create something out of something. You can start something, no matter how small. By the way, the Bible says, I will bless the work of your hand, not your salary. Am I talking? That is not what the Bible says. He said, I will bless the work of your hand. Even as I'm a doctor, I have my business. Sorry. She's my husband. I said, you're a businesswoman. Sure, that one is by the way. I have my business, I do. So you should, as a sister, you should have something. You should think fast. When I was coming back from school, we have marriage, when I finished my this thing, when I was coming back, I was able to save like 150,000 from just the small change my husband was giving me. He said, where did you get this money? I said, now I was saving so that we can add to your business. He was so surprised. You know, my friends then, sometimes they will bring this one and say, let's buy. I say, I don't have money. It's not necessary. If I say I don't have money, they say, you have now. I say, your husband just came. I said, it's not necessary. It's not everything as a sister you must get. There is a time you have much money to do all these things. Even as at now, there are some things they bring in my office. I say, it's not that I cannot afford this, but it's not necessary. There are a lot of people to help. There are a lot of things to use money and do. You now come and get a lot of things and get the ones that you will keep and maybe to spoil. All of them start now. Oju kokoro. Is that not what they call it? even as a man. You should plan ahead. You should know you're a student. You know, one of my friends was saying, this is your phone. If I bring, he said, get another phone. I said, this one never reached 1 year. Me and my children, we are using it to play too much. It must reach 1 year before I get another one. As a student, you start now to plan yourself. Not maybe you wait when your husband comes, you start planning. Maybe as a man, you say, when my wife comes, I'll start planning. How you plan your life now affects how you will live tomorrow. How you plan yourself now will go a long way. You see, in the life of Joseph, as we can read that in the Bible, and all of us, we know the story, he was focused. He knows where he was going. He knows the promises of God upon his life. He did not allow Potiphar's wife, don't allow any sister, either in your class or in the fellowship, to deceive you. You have a destiny to fulfill. You have a place you are going. So you should be determined to do what? To get what, where you are going. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So it is very, very important, irrespective of what you are studying, irrespective of anything that is happening in your life, you should know very well when God is saying, go, and when God is saying, wait. Like a sister, one man of God that came to preach in our church, he said that he knows the pastor that the thing happened in their church. The sister saw somebody, he came to the church, became serious, and was doing everything, and was faithful. And so when he came, he now joined the ushers. The sister did not take her time to pray. He didn't know that this person just came to do what? To come and take her out of the faith. He played everything and they did wedding. Immediately they finished the wedding. The man said, you are following me. We are going back to the mosque. The man is a Muslim. I believe some people are Muslim because it was a true life story. The man now took him. And they were, you know, this issue we are talking about is between, immediately you say, yes, I do. You don't finish. There is nothing like, let me come and make amendments. There is nothing like, let me see how to play around it. No. Like one of my friends, we are still praying and believing God. She didn't really take her time. You know, they were doing boyfriend, girlfriend, and she took in. And she didn't know that the husband is an AS, and she herself is an AS. And now they are having two sickler, putting the two girls in problem. They are still praying, believing God to change. God can do a miracle. But you don't need to put all those children into problem. Don't allow any brother to ask you, come and know where I'm staying. You know, it baffles me. That is why we have so many people that jump into marriage today. In less than 2 years, they want to run out. Because they have done a lot of things. That when they come to the altar, how did they even put it? They will say, with bed on the fire. I hope there is no problem. In the presence of God, you say, no, there is no impediment. God will sign it. Today, this family will not have peace. You know, the Bible says that God showed himself shrewd to whoever that do what? That is playing with him. God is a merciful God, though, but he's a consuming fire. And know everything that you do today will play out tomorrow. Everything you do today will play out tomorrow. If you think you can play around it, you can do something and see cover up. God is there watching. And I pray that God will help us. In Jesus' name. My time has finished.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, Mommy. Can we jam our hands together to the Lord? We know we don't have enough time. We just have to make it snappy. And then we know we have quite a number of questions. Please, we just want to entertain not more than 3 questions. So if you have a question, please, can you raise up your hand? We have quite a number of questions here, too, that we are going to be directing to our daddies in the house, then our mommy. So we'd love to have some clarity to things that we've heard. So please, do I have anybody that has a question? Okay, 1. Okay, maybe let's start with what we have here. So maybe after that we can... Okay, mommy spoke about the word love. Yes. So we have a question here that how does a man understand love? Or what is the definition of love to a man? To a man, yes, we want to know. Now, the reason is a woman needs to understand definition of love to a man. So how a man understands. Yes. It's also here. We want to know the perspective of love to a woman and also to the man. So how does a man understand love? A woman needs to know. Then how does a woman understand the word love? A man needs to know. So that's going to you, sir. Yes. Yes, you are not a preacher. We have everybody's. Yes, we don't know. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sisters, is it true you really want to know what to love? Is it how it affects a brother or what do you want? I really don't understand.
Yes, how it affects a brother has to do with how brother takes the word love. So they want to know when they say, I love you.
Look, I have a problem.
Yes, sir.
I don't like generalizing. I don't like it. I don't like hypothetical questions. I think I've had to say that many, many, many times. Because there are so many variables that goes into all this. For example, your background is very important. The kind of people you work with is very important. Because your family, that's a background, and so many things goes into what you define as anything. Are you with me? I, for one, came from a background where we're in school way back then, where we had all my friends used to talk to girls and everything, and they're always telling them, you are the sugar in my tea, you are the cockroach in my cupboard, and all that. And I was close to my friends, and I knew that they were not sincere. And of course, I saw how the girls reacted, and I knew they also were not sincere. So as far as I was concerned, love was a scam. Are you with me? I felt it was a scam. But it took me meeting Jesus to know that love is real. Are you with me? And so I really don't know how you have related with the Lord Jesus for me to be able to define what exactly love means to you. If you come from a family where no one shows love, you will not understand it. Are you with me? If you come from a family where everybody is lying and scamming and manipulating, you will think that love is manipulation. Are you with me? So you need God to bring somebody or people your way that can help you define what love is. Now, if I were going to talk to you, I was talking to a brother recently, and he was talking about, you know, people like quoting Ephesians chapter 5. Woman, submit to your husbands. But they forget to add, husbands, love your wives. Now, I said, the Bible now defined what that love is. Said, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then I asked the brother, if you heard that the lady you want to marry fornicated, I said, are you going to be willing to marry her? He said, sir. I said, supposing you now marry her and she was busy jumping from man to man, will you still continue that marriage? He said, no. Then you can't be like Christ. Because, you see, I can't use natural standards to define love. It will be wrong. Do you know how many times we have told Jesus, I swear, I will follow you till I die. After that, right there, you departed from me. You were unfaithful. In fact, we count the number of unfaithful acts you've committed. Jesus has not abandoned any one of us. I don't know whether you understand. There are people who have gone back, they've gone into the world, and Jesus still drew them back. So when you want to talk about love, we speak from the perspective of Jesus. Are you willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for a woman? If you are not ready, you are not ready for marriage. Because I can tell you, marriage will put you to test. Oh, it will test everything that you've ever heard, ever learned. All the sisters you see that are fine in church, when, let them marry. You will know that they are not spiritual. You will find that spirits don't marry. Praise God. I mean, pastor. Spirits don't marry. No. So what exactly, for me, brothers, that will speak to you, go and work on your life. Go and read that Ephesians 5 again. And learn what the Bible meant, that Jesus loved his church and gave himself for it. I heard of a testimony that shook me. It really shook me. Of how, okay, I had an experience and then I had a story. The experience was that of a pastor friend of mine, his wife, he used to verbally abuse the woman. Abused the woman. And one day the woman, out of frustration, carried her legs and went to look for her ex. Married woman. Her children at university. So when she was talking about temptation, it's not when I marry, I will be free. You will never be free until you take your life's breath. Except you get to the age of 90 like David. Praise God. Am I communicating? Of course, when they came to me, they were shouting. And the lady said, but you two, you are doing your own. And the man said, it is like Yoruba said, in raw kurini. He said, go ahead. I don't know how to, what's the English? It's normal. It's, the culture permits men to be unfaithful. Are you with me? And so the culture does not see it as a sin. When you hear a man has deposited the seed there, he has deposited the seed there, he's a man. But that man will go to hell. By the grace of God. Do you understand? He will go. So, and I was like, really? Man of God? Really? You know, I had to rebuke him. But this is what I was saying. The woman, I asked her, when you were in school, what kind of books were you reading? She said, Meals and Bones. Said, no wonder you did what you did. Because there was no strength within her to stay course and not jump ship. That thing that stayed in her mind and played and played and played and played, and she didn't cast down that imagination. When it was ripe, Satan activated it. And the home was on the verge of breaking up before we came in to stabilize it. There was a story of a pastor. I don't know. I won't tell you the location for security reasons. The wife went out and got pregnant. And the pastor said he will not abort it. He will not drive the woman out. Because the Bible says, until death do us. People don't know the power of vows. He didn't give condition that when you fornicate, you know, just like I said, hey, we should break up and do it. Except for the sin of fornication. And married people don't fornicate. Do you know that? It is unmarried people that fornicate. Married people don't fornicate. So when Jesus Christ said, except for the sin of fornication, they said, if it be the case, I don't think we will marry. He said, it is not everybody can receive this. Listen to me. If you are not ready to go to the full org, don't put your leg inside. Are you with me? Marriage, love is not feeling. She told us yesterday, it's not feeling. After 1 year, 2 years, the thing will not shake you again. Praise God. Are you with me? The one before, you should do air, your head will be spinning. Let her even go to all the hairdressers and do air for her. You will be looking, what have you now? Praise God. Over time, those feelings die. Except you find a way of keeping their life. Praise the Lord. Am I making sense to us? So, it's not a feeling. Love is a commitment. Once you make a vow, you stick to it. Am I communicating? You stick to it. Let your nay be nay and your yea be yea. If you say you are going to the gate, let us find you there. Like she said, not that I'm going to greet my sister and they found you going to greet your brother. Am I communicating? Because the Bible said in Proverbs 30, is it 30? It said, is it 30 or 31? Yeah. It said, the heart of a husband doeth trust in her. Marriage is built on trust. If you destroy trust, it's difficult to find though. Are you with me? It's difficult to find. So I admonish you, while you are yet young, begin to cultivate the habit of being trustworthy. If you say, Pastor, I am coming, please come. Don't come and say, hey, Pastor, you know now, I was just joking now. You will not make a good home. You won't make a good family or a good spouse. Are you with me, church? So, what is love for me? Just be there. Just appear. And just remain by my side. Hallelujah. You may not. I'm not the type that says, I love you. I don't do it. Praise God. I hope you are with me. You may like it. I know she may like it. You, when I'm looking at you, you may like it. If you end up marrying a type of person like me, I'm very sorry for you. Praise God. But you can be sure that I will stick with you till the dead do me part. Am I communicating? Then what is your problem? Now, I'm not sure that is his way of doing things. So he may like going to carry to Mr. B's. Me, I don't know how to do kumasi. I don't even know. Am I communicating? Hey, we are all different. But the thing that is common to all of us, let them see Christ in you. Be an example of the believer, Paul said, in everything. At home or in church. Don't be a saint in the church. But there are wives like that, there are men like that. When they handle microphone and they speak in tongues, their wife know that he is a liar. He's a liar. I've seen them before. Their wives don't respect them. Because there is this inconsistency between the man that mounts the mic, that mounts the pulpit, and the man that is at home. Am I communicating to you? So please, I beg you, sisters, when a brother, well, I'll talk about, I'm not preaching this night, praise God, maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. But suffice to say, when a man comes to you, look for Christ in him. If you can't find Christ, walk away. Just walk away. If any voice speaks to you, tell that voice, I've given you permission to walk away. For that is with the proviso that you yourself know what Christ looks like. Because if you don't know what Christ looks like, you will make the wrong choice.
Thank you, sir. Sir, what moment to help us answer for the woman? When a woman hears that I love you, what does she? Love, yes.
A woman, yes. As in from a man.
When she hears that I love you, how does she understand?
Praise the Lord. I think the woman is looking out to see somebody that will have time. Most times men, they don't have time. Like the one I have at home. This ministry is taking almost everything in him. But like our daddy says, if you as a person, I didn't remember to say it, if you are not born again, if you play around it, God cannot give you a born again to come and drag to hell. So immediately Christ is there, you find a way of doing it. Even if you don't have time, you will find something to be doing at that time. Michelle, it has made me sometimes, if he has a program to prepare, I will find a way of going to pray. Me, I like somebody taking care of me, like having my time. But I notice that it's like a general something. Anytime a man says, I love you, in your mind, to have time for me, is he going to take care of my emotional needs? A man is not ready. Like what daddy said, to some extent, men, when you say you love them, they want respect and honor. That is what they take as love. But we women, we look at, do you have my time? Can you take care of my emotional needs? Can you really stand out for me? When
some things are coming. When I have people that like want to devour me, can you stand and block them? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Please, let's have your question.
Praise the Lord. How can one deal with independence and accountability in marriage? In the sense that, okay, I'm this kind of person, I don't feel like, whenever I want to go out, I usually don't feel like telling anybody, doing a lot of things on my own, without having to tell anybody, without having to tell my husband, not my husband, but the opposite sex. Okay, so how do I deal with that? I'm talking in the sense of marriage.
Mommy, please, can you please help us?
Praise the Lord. You know, the truth of the matter is that not everybody is supposed to get married. Yes, you may want it that way. That is why Apostle Paul don't want drama. That is why he did not marry. If you know you don't want anybody to be involved in your things, you can as well go and become a sister. Because there is no how you be in a relationship without telling your movement. Because that is one of the things that will build the trust. Like, I believe that is in marriage for almost 20 years.
20 something. 30.
Wow. And I'm still going to 12. I know that one of the things that builds that trust is that when you are still having relationship, the man wants you to tell him if you are coming to fellowship. Let me assume the guy is in footer here. And maybe something happens. Not that he's suspecting you. He feels like, let me come and join her here. I wanted to go to town, but I've changed my mind. Let me come and be with her here. And funny enough, he comes here, he didn't see you. He may not say anything, he may give you excuses, but something in him somehow is making him to withdraw. Even if the love is pushing him and he's sure, but to some extent he's having a reservation. I don't think there is anything like independence when you are in a marriage or relationship. You have to be open so that the person can flow with you. Because when you are a kind of independent, how will you feel if the guy wants to be independent too? He don't want to like tell you about his whereabouts. He just wants to be do his own thing his own way. I think that's what you're saying. You want to live your life. The best thing to do is that just decide to be on your own. Don't marry. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Okay, this question will go to Pastor Ogi. So the question is, how many will of God do we have? Yes, in marriage.
Praise the Lord. You know, in will of God, we have perfect will of God and permissive will of God. Perfect will of God is when it's 100% what He wants for you. And permissive will of God is when you force God to do it. Okay, let's use the example of Hezekiah in the Bible. The perfect will of God for him is to die that time. Because God has seen what wants to happen to him in the future. We say, God, you know I've been faithful, you know this, you know that. God now permitted him. It wasn't his perfect will. His perfect will was for him to die that 15 years before the time. Because if you read the account of Hezekiah, that 15 years of grace,
you see that there was a problem. Because God has known, you know, yesterday, maybe you didn't understand what I said when I said I lost my sister. That was 5 years ago. It was the perfect will of God for her to go then. She was 33 then, yes. When I went back to God to know exactly what happened, God said, that is my will for her then. Because maybe the marriage she was entering into will not work out well. Are you getting it? So sometimes there are some things that happen in your life that is exactly the perfect will of God. And there are some that it is out of your disturbance. God say, okay, you want it. Or you take it. Anything you see, collect. I have a friend, I think I mentioned it yesterday, that she had a boy. So she and the husband, they were not comfortable. They didn't do any family planning, but the child wasn't coming forth. They start worrying, disturbing God, crying, making so many things. You ask me, why is it that God did not change the sex? God did not change, no, not the sex, the genotype. God did not change it because he knows that is what they will produce. And that is why he will tell the baby. But when they disturb God so much, say his baby you want, he give it to them. The baby was an SS. Until date, I've not seen the child, but he has shown me the picture. The child is like 7 or 8 now. But if you see the child, it looks like 4 years. In short, the house, they say before they have the child, they have their house at lintel level. See, date, the house is still like that. Because the child is the project of the family. You know, they don't want the child to die. Neither will the child leave them alone. So that is part of a permissive will of God. You want the baby, Abby? You don't want, you didn't even, you know, sometimes, maybe somebody just said, I'm no more interested. You didn't even go back to God. God, okay, maybe, was I making a mistake in the first place? What was happening? No, what you do is that you are crying, God, let him come back. God, this one. God, say, you want him back? Or you are permissively, collect him. When you now enter into it, inside, within, down in your heart, you know, ha, this thing was actually God that wanted to deliver me then. But I said, no, I wanted it. So it takes God to give you the perfect will. But when you push it forward, he will give you the permissive will.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Ma, that means in permissive will of God, now in quote, that means it's possible for someone to fall into regret. Hallelujah. Yeah, okay. There's another question here. The question is, what is communication in relationship? What is communication? Some brothers will call sister, are we eating? What did you cook? And then, are you okay? Like, in the next, maybe a few minutes, are you okay? Are you fine? Have you woken up? And we want to know the context of communication for, okay. Okay. Daddy, please come and help us. I
want to know. At least my pastors know what is on my mind. I speak my mind, like I said. But let me correct your depression. When you ask that question, I tell yourself, how long have I been, you know, around in this faith? So it's okay. No, it should be about 28 this year, 1992. I think I'm trying. Yeah, I've tried. Praise God. I made my own mistakes. I made my own mistakes. And I thank God that they were not mistakes that led to eternal regret. They were mistakes that enabled me to know how it should not be done. Is that okay? Now, in communication, again, I don't know whether I'm the best person to answer that question, because in the fellowship I was in, the church I was in, nobody knew I was engaged. They didn't know, except my pastors. Nobody knew. The day they knew I was engaged was when they announced my marriage. And all the sisters said, ha! You know, I was a youth pastor. So I was, everybody was dragging me here and there, smile at me. I was not the smiling type. I was like, Brother Femi, where's Femi? Is Femi in the house? I saw him coming. I don't smile. So everybody just felt, this brother. So when they announced the wedding, some people stopped talking to me. But I used to talk. I speak with my wife. How are you doing? If you do, but I don't, after marriage, I noticed that it is when I'm tired, my wife will start talking. And that's not the best time to talk with me. I just want to shut down and rest. Because I've walked throughout the whole day. I've driven from Akuba to Akure. I've preached. Get back to her. She will now start talking. No issue. But somehow, there is what we call verbal and non-verbal communication. You should be able to listen, especially to the non-verbal communication. I won't want to use my wife for example, so that you will not start looking at mom, But at times when she's talking to you, you know that she's hot. But she may say something else, but that is what she's saying. Different from what she's talking about. I don't know whether you are with me. She was saying, okay, this is what she's trying to say. And, I'll think about it. We'll deal with the matter. And I move on. And I put things into action. So, for many of you, you have to learn how to be friends. Your communication should come effortlessly. Are you with me? You should have, how do I put it? Things of common interest. For example, I'm not the type that enjoys talking about tailoring. It's not my interest. But let's talk about politics. Pastor, I will be okay. Praise God. Or let's talk about the Bible. Let's talk about things that are, yeah. But that may be our interest. Somehow, I learn, update myself and converse. There's no topic you want to talk to me about now that I can't talk to you about. So you must be a good conversationalist and talk about everything. So your wife may not like football. Your husband may not like sewing. But somehow, you must pick interest. If you have to go and learn it and read it up, go and read it up and talk. So if she's talking about a Greek, Amato, I discuss your birds, your business, your that, we share. The only thing I know I can't talk about is solar and all those technical things. You won't follow me. Are you with me? But she knows a lot about internship, sideways, because I've talked with her on those things. So a time will come when if you ask me a question, and later you ask my wife, not having met, both of us have not yet met, we will give you the same answer. And a time comes in a couple's life that they will begin to look the same. It's called fellowship. It's a mystery you don't understand now. Get over the problem of even finding. We'll talk about that one later. Praise God. So for communication, please assume that the person is a friend. Just assume it's a friend. And flow. Just flow. It's not that, how are you? I'm fine. Have you eaten? I've not eaten. Okay. Yes, I'm looking at each other. You have that relationship has no future. Amen. Are you with me? So, I don't know what else. Is that good enough? And do you communicate? You.
Hallelujah. Mommy, please, we have a question. I want to know the major questions that should be asked in relationship. By, like, okay. Not before. We mean in relationship now. Yes. Now that we are talking about communication in relationship now. They have been friends. So the man has gone ahead to propose. They've agreed. So then they want to know each other intimately. They want to know more about themselves.
You can't accept a proposal when you have questions. How can you accept what you don't know?
You know, I told you the first question I asked my husband is, are you born again? He was embarrassed. Like, why will you ask me such question? I said, yes, because your sister have told me why you... If in as much as somehow, somewhere, I know why, what is coming for. But I know, I need to know where I am going. You can't enter a house and now come and say, do you have chairs here? When you're already seeing a chair. That means you are blind now. But before you enter a house, you can say, do you have chairs? You say, eh, I have black one. If you come and now see a white one, you now know that he's lying. Before you enter a relationship, when you are still friends, depending on how you get to know, ask your questions. You know, especially from the sister side, we like to pretend. That is one good thing my husband likes me for. I don't pretend. So that is why when I came in, I had issues with the sisters. They said, you have to go and open your ear. My husband was begging me, open. I said, see, you see people that are doing everything like me. I don't, even if I wear necklace, when I came to his house, he bought some necklace. It's like I'm wearing a snake. I don't flow. It's not my fault. I wasn't trained that way, and somehow, somewhere, I don't like it. Do you understand? So, I sent me some things from US. I said, sorry, I don't like them, so I cannot accept it. You know, some of you, you can accept and dash out. I feel, hence I don't want it. There is no need accepting it. That is me. I don't know how to pretend. So, and are you born again? He was embarrassed, but at a time later, he told me, I said, when were you filled with the Spirit of God? He said, throughout that night, he didn't sleep. He said, all the girls he has been meeting, there is nobody that have asked him such serious questions. You don't need to start. Let me assume he's coming from another side. You don't ask questions. When you ask, and maybe he said another thing, and when the whole thing is playing out, you are seeing another thing. You can now, in as much as God say go, it may be a permissive will. It may not be a perfect will. You can now be balancing it. When you are balancing it, you now say, okay, I can't cope. Because this marriage thing we are talking about, you can't fake it. It's only now that you can pass, as in pad yourself, package yourself, and do all those stuff. When you have 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know, this sister that is very slim, I was more tinier than her. You know, when Daddy was saying about the wife, if you see what I do to my, like throughout today, apart from I stop my fasting around 3, but it's only 2 bananas I've taken. I can watch my weight for Africa, but I know I'm still adding. You understand? So that packaging is just now. That is how when you marry and time is going, you'll be adding. So you don't need to pretend. Ask your questions. If you're leaving, another better person is coming. So don't pretend. Ask your question, not when you are inside, but when you are still outside. So that if they say, I'm walking away. And when you are walking away, don't say, my leg is here. And don't. I didn't say that. Okay, I've heard what you said. I'm considering it. This brother BK comes. He say, okay, I've heard. Brother, don't confuse yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Listen, let me add this. I've observed among some of you that after entering a relationship, you want to change the person to suit your own suit. Your eyes was not blind when you went to meet the person. You saw him, you saw her. Especially brothers. You saw her. You know she doesn't wear a ring. He will now say, when I get her, I will now make her wear a ring. It doesn't work. Oh. Be careful. He said she doesn't need that to greet me. When you went to propose, did she need that to greet you? Why do you think she will now change? Am I communicating? Please be careful. I was told of a story, similar to what she said, of a guy who came to church, joined the fellowship, you know, became a worker, was vibrant and everything. and ended up marrying a lady from the church. When they got home, the guy brought out his whiskey and began to shack. And his wife came, brother, why are you doing this? I said, leave me home. I just came to find a wife. It's not good. So the lady now went inside, brought her own benzene and edges, sat down. Said, you are smoking. Me too, I came to church to look for. So I didn't know that you are like that. Just let life roll. Where will your man die? Where can your man die? Where can your man bury him? You cannot convert any jack. Don't try it. My younger sister came to me, went to marry a guy. He said, you will change. He has promised that you will let me go to church. You will let me go to... And this was my younger sister that was an ESCO member in fellowship. She wanted me to approve it. I said, anything you want to do, go and do it. Today, she's not in that marriage. She drove all the way from Lagos to come and get approval. The thing is sealed now. You would drive from Lagos to this place if your mind was not made up. You know what was right. The guy was staunch Catholic. I know Catholic is Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Said this guy is not born again. He said he's a good boy. I said, this thing, I did fear. Today, he has worked. So, nice is not the same thing as good. If you want your way, God will let you have your way. But you will drink the gari alone. My sister is abroad now with 4 kids. She's the only one carrying the wala. Nobody is there to help her. When she's stressed and depressed, nobody is there to say pele. The guy is busy playing fine boy in Lagos there. So, please, don't play Ludo with God.
Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Do we still have any question? Anybody with question? Okay, mommy. Your salary is for the family. And my salary is my own. Says the woman. Is this right?
Praise the Lord. It depends on what you agree before entering the marriage. Why I said like that is some people always believe that the man is the one that will carry the load of the house. But if you really walk into the marriage with your mind, you know that your salary is not your own. Like me, my husband calls me an accountant. If you give me 2,000 naira, or 20,000, or 200,000, come any day, any time. If you mark the numbers, before you give it to me, you write the number somewhere and give it to me. When you are collecting it, it will be like that. That is not my money. But my own money is for the family. Okay, let me give us a little hint of what I mean. When I came in, my husband is transacting in millions. When I walk in, he was having the call and he don't want to answer. And just in the space of two, three years, the whole thing crashed and he was owing. And when we start praying and all that, I came to realize it was called. It was me that confronted him. I said, don't put me in trouble. Don't be the Jonah in my this thing. Don't answer the call. He said, okay, let's bargain. I said, yes, I will take up the family responsibility. Just go. He said, you know women, this one. I said, just leave it for me. Go. We tell the wahala. He now left. He entered Bible school. But even before that, do you know what I did? When I was serving at FMC with my 19,8 and 86,000, at the end of the month, I asked him, what do you want to do? Because it's after a year we married 2008, I served 2011. So when I was serving, what I do is that
like 2-3 months, I'll have with my PP. I do my own private practice because I'm a businesswoman. So I'll have like 200,000 or 300,000 or 3+. I'll ask him, what do you intend to do? He will give this, that, that. I say, okay, I have small money to support you. I'll bring out the money. He will be surprised. You know, if not that money so much, he wouldn't have answered the call. And he got to a stage that God really wants to kill him. And I can't imagine myself being a widow at that stage. Yes, I may marry another person, but it may not be what I want. So as a Christian sister, before you enter marriage, you don't have your own money. That is where I'm going. Okay, can I shock you that when my husband entered the school, there was a land I bought. I bought it in his name. My name was not there. Do you know what I was doing? I was trying to make him to feel relaxed. It was after almost 6 months. I was just chipping it in. He said, no, we don't need it now. This one, the other one. I know we really need it. And now I brought the receipt. He said, this woman, you can't stop to amaze me. You didn't even because it is your own. He was surprised. You know what you are doing? You are building a trust. Tomorrow he may be a great man of God. Maybe if they give him something very serious, he will now give it to the wife. They will say the wife is the one controlling him. It starts from now. If you want to play, if you get, take it to your own house. Don't worry. You are building a house that you cannot stay in. If you don't plan that home with your husband, you feel like my salary is my own. My husband's own is for us to eat. Don't worry. Maybe something will happen tomorrow and you will know that you, as that person, that man is actually your head. He's the one covering you. Because if anything happens, maybe you give him hypertension and along the line he die, you become a widow. You know that 1+1=5. I didn't say 2. But that 2 of you, you are into it together. Like now, my salary is far beyond its own. When you get all my business and all that, I do for a month. But you won't know. Most of the family responsibilities, I'm the one that... Do you know what I do? If my children, like my girl is a federal girl, what I did is that I transferred the money to his account. He now took my girl to the bank to go and pay. My girl was now like, Mommy, you didn't even contribute. I said, your dad is the head of the home now. He's the one doing everything. Do you know what I'm doing? I don't want the kids to know because they always see money in my bag or maybe they know their mommy gets money. Their dad is in a small church. We are still in a small church. He just started the church because in AG, we are in from Assemblies of God Church. If you start, you prove your ministry. The first Sunday, we fellowship in that church. It was me, my daughter, and my 2 boys before I had the last baby girl. So, we started the church ourselves. Now we are like 60-something or 50-something. So you see, we are still growing. So, and how we do it is from what the church gets. Sorry, I'm trying to open up, but I want you to understand. What if they get an income of maybe 200,000, they give you a stipend from there. So it's not a stable salary. And you know what 40-something thousand or 50-something thousand or 60-something can do for a very good family in this our good Nigeria now. So, you know, if you don't support such a person, if he doesn't concentrate to bring out what God wants him to do, you will answer God if anything happens to the man. So there is nothing like, this is my money, or this is his money, it is our money. But what I do is that you have to be conscious of the kind of person you marry. My husband is the one that if he see 100,000, in his account now. He can share everybody the money. We can. So what happens is that if he prays, he's into deliverance. So sometimes he puts so money to him. What he does is I say, honey, let me transfer part of the money to your account. Do you know what he's doing? He's being careful because he knows that you can wake me up and get 500,000. Yes. If I don't need a shoe, you bring it. He match my clothes. I'll tell you, I don't need it for now. That is me. I'll tell you, so I know how to, I'm a good manager. So he will just give me the money. If a need arise. If I, okay, like today, an example, my daughter called today. Mommy, our provision has finished. The boy, I called the person that supplied us milk. He came. Do you know what I did? I don't want the guy to know. This my bag was in the parlor and he has a lot of money with him. And I came inside. I called him. I don't want the man that came in to see that I'm the one paying. He's the owner of the house. You shouldn't allow people outside to know that he doesn't have money. When I get there, I say, honey, we are buying it. It's 4-5. I gave him the money. So there are other things we need to get for my daughter. I gave him the money. When he came out, he told the boys, as I was coming, I dropped him along the road. He got it. See, this thing, we'll do it together. It is only when you come out and say it that people knows. But you are building something, especially on our women. Because you feel maybe you have today. Hands are not always like that. Things changes. And tomorrow, if the man now become maybe important and start having more, the thing you are doing now will play out. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Please, I want to beg you, don't let the prevailing culture, whichever culture you come from, don't take your examples from that. I've had people say, don't trust the woman. I've had women say, don't trust the man. It's not a competition. Marriage is not a competition. It's a team. Just like she said, no one should know what is going on in the home. The church I was in, Agape, of all the senior pastors that were in Agape, I was the only one that never brought a quarrel to the senior pastor. Say, come on, I and my wife, we are boxing. It was a surprise to them. One day they had to make that how is it that you are doing it that you have never brought a quarrel? Am I communicating? Yes, there was a time I started working before my wife. I graduated before her, so I started working. And by God's grace, I've traveled across some parts of the world. But I pulled out, and she became the breadwinner. Am I communicating? But you won't know that she was the breadwinner. I was struggling. But today, we are managing. Can you understand? I'm managing. I'm still managing. Praise God. Amen. Working in the university gives you some advantages, but she's still any more than me. Please don't tell her I told you. Because she's an health worker and they get special salary. Somewhere, I won't tell you how much she's earning more than me. But I think I'm okay. You can't know. And I like this Yoruba say that the husband saw the snake. The wife killed the snake. Provided the snake did not escape. What's your problem? Why are you quarreling that? Just me who killed snake was not that killed snake. It's not a competition. Let us stop competing. Don't let that thing stick in your mind. It's dangerous. Secondly, the thing that I want to say, please, if you are a generous person, you won't have problem. If you are liberally minded, you don't grab this, my own is my own, you won't have problem. Please, this one that is my money, is my money. It's our money. It's for the family. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, ma. Thank you so much, sir. Please, can we stand to our feet because of our time? Let's round up. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's just bless the Lord for these two days. Can we just appreciate Him? It has been wonderful since yesterday. God has, you know, a lot of information has come out. I want us to appreciate the Lord. Let's thank Him for giving us this opportunity, this privilege to hear these things that we have heard. Bless the Lord. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Father, we are grateful. Thank you for the privilege we have. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for giving us such a privilege like this. We appreciate you. We are grateful. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are grateful. Thank you. We thank you, our Father. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you for enlightening us. Thank you for shining your light on us. Thank you for showing us the path to place our feet upon. We are grateful. Thank you for illumination. We give thanks to you. Thank you for utterance for our guest minister. Thank you for utterance. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the capacity to bring these words. Our Father, we are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you for what you have done. We give thanks to you, God. We give thanks to you, God. We give thanks to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, this meeting would have fulfilled its course when all of us are able to get it right. You know, as far as the issue of marriage is concerned, when we are able to make the right decision, make the right choices, and we are enjoying our homes. That's the beauty of it. I want you to talk to God, that God will help you to get it right. You know, getting it right is a factor of many things. It's a factor of course, getting the right person to marry, being the right person also yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want you to talk to God and say, Lord, help me as far as this relationship and marriage journey is concerned. Help me to get it right. I don't want to miss my steps. I don't want to go the wrong direction. Help me to get it right. I ask for help. No matter what the enemy may raise up against, help me overcome. In the name of Jesus, help me to get it right. I want to have a good home. I want to have a good marriage. Help me, my Father. Help me, help me. I'm trusting in you. I'm looking up to you. Father, we are praying for all our young people here that you help them to make the right choices. As many of us are at a point of decision, we are that you will guide us. Guide us. Help us to get it right. In the name of Jesus, we want to have peaceful homes. We want to have blissful homes. We want our homes to be example of godly homes. Help us, our Father. Help us. We look up to you. We look up to you, Jesus. We look up to you, Jesus. We ask for help to get it right. In the name of Jesus, we ask for help to get it right. Give us help, Lord. Give us help, Lord. Give us help, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we may not miss out of your plan for us as far as relationships and marriage is concerned. That we will not lose out of your plan. We will not miss out. We won't take wrong steps. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. And finally, I want you to just pray. Ask God for the mercy of God for this aspect of your life. For some of us, it will just be just the provision of God's mercy that will just help us. You know, it's very, very important. When the mercy of God plays out, sometimes you are even at the point of making wrong decision, one way or the other, God just step in. It's just mercy. Left to you, you have failed. Left to you, you have gotten it wrong. But when the mercy of God appears to you, mercy will just save you. I want you to ask God for his mercy. We are going to do everything we know how to do. We are going to do. We are going to pray. We are going to fast. We are going to wait on God. We are going to be patient. We are going to do everything we know to do. But even in the midst of it all, we still need the mercy of God to help us to, you know, to navigate that path well. I want you to talk to God this evening and say, Father, let your mercy avail for me. As far as relationship and marriage is concerned, let your mercy avail for me. Let your mercy avail for me. In the name of Jesus. If that is all that is left, if that's the only
only saving grace that is available. Let your mercy stand for me. Let your mercy avail for me, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let your mercy avail for me. Let your mercy avail for me concerning relationship, concerning my marriage. Let your mercy avail in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let your mercy avail for me. Help me, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, ma. We appreciate you. Thanks for honoration.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.